With no fees or minimums, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than deciding to listen to another episode of your favorite podcast. And with no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. There's Jerry. This is Stuff You Should Know, okay?
Unclean. Unclean.
What is that from?
I think that's what people with leprosy were, they had to say. They had to, like, ring a bell and say unclean when they walked through town so people would avoid them.
I knew about the bell.
Yeah, I think they would have to say unclean. Or at least that's the story I heard.
Man, alive.
Yeah. So he says it all.
It really does. Leprosy.
Stigma.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hansen's disease, I think, is the preferred term for it these days.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
I knew it was called that, but I have, like, every article I saw didn't even mention that.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know who's preferring it. Mr. Hansen, I guess. Whoever he is.
Well, he's a 19th century, I think, Swedish or Danish physician.
Oh, is that the deal?
The guy who discovered the actual bacteria.
Gotcha.
That does it.
Yeah.
Because we're talking leprosy, and it's a bacterial infection after all.
Yeah, I think when folks hear the word leprosy or leper colony, they a lot of times may not even know what the heck it is. And yeah, I guess we should start off by just talking about the disease a little bit.
Yeah, it's an ancient disease. I actually found something from the beginning of 2014, and they discovered a new form of leprosy.
Oh, really?
New to humans, but it's actually very old. But the fact that they can take this new form, the newly discovered form,
yeah,
and compare it to the one we've known about for centuries,
yeah,
they actually found that the fact that they diverged so long ago makes them suspect that it's possible that leprosy, Hansen's disease, is the oldest infectious disease to humans around.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Huh. They think that it definitely originated in Africa, that it traveled out with humans in however many waves that went out of Africa to spread around the rest of the world. And one of the telltale signs that it's extremely old is that it only infects humans. As far as we know, it doesn't infect any other animals except supposedly armadillos. And they think that armadillos caught it from humans as recently as 100 or 200 years ago.
Well, that's why if you're going to see leprosy in the United States, you're probably going to find it in Texas or Louisiana.
Yeah.
Because the armadillos.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Weird.
And there is leprosy here. I guess I bet most people think that it's not in the United States at all. But it is. It's super rare. The CDC says they get about 100 new cases a year in the U.S., which is super, super low. And only about 20 to 40 of those are people born in the United States. Like usually the other 40 to 80, I guess, are bringing it in from another country.
Oh, gotcha.
And have it for years without knowing it. Because leprosy generally takes 4 to 6 years to manifest itself.
I've seen 10 to 20.
Well, I mean, it can take that long, but generally 4 to 6 years.
Which is a big problem.
Sure.
Because, first of all, it's rare, but even in the parts of the world where it's not all that rare, like you can be infected with leprosy, like you said, for many, many years.
Yeah.
And even if you do start to show symptoms, they don't just automatically point to leprosy. They can be skin rashes or respiratory problems or something like that. So by the time a doctor says, oh, you have Hansen's disease, you're in big trouble. Or it used to be the case.
Yes, but now it is completely curable, which is great news. It is also not contagious at all, hardly. 95% of human beings have a natural immunity. So the biblical times in the Middle Ages where lepers were, and we'll get to all this, but when they were thought, like, if you come anywhere close that you're going to get this dreaded disease, mm-hmm. has never been true.
Yeah. The thing is as ancient as, leprosy is, they still don't know exactly how it's transmitted.
Yeah.
They assume that it's transmitted like most other bacterial infections, like either through, saliva or mucus.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Through a sneeze or something like that. Or through cracks in the skin. And, I saw both that it's either very hard to catch or it's not that hard to catch. I saw that it doesn't live outside of the human body for very long, or it can still remain potent in, like just basically on some sort of surface or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the last idea that it doesn't stay active outside of the human body for very long is supported by the fact that they've never been able to come up with a leprosy vaccine because it can't exist outside of the human body, which is another idea or another reason why they think it's a very ancient human disease.
Yeah.
Because it's specifically tailored for humans. And do you know how it works?
Yeah, sure. Well, you want to talk about how it actually, what it is, and then how it affects you?
Yeah.
Well, it is, they're little microbes called, Mycobacterium leprae, L-E-P-R-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
They're little tiny rod-shaped microbes, and they infect the body, and you will get skin sores and nerve damage and muscle weakness, and you're gonna not be able to feel pain, which leads to more problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will end up getting amputations because of gangrene, because you injured your toes or your hands,
right?
And you don't even know it.
Yeah, and the way that it does that on a cellular level is the leprosy bacterium hijacks what are called your Schwann cells. Your Schwann cells, they typically make some sort of fatty coating for muscle and nervous system tissue, right?
Okay,
and it turns Schwann cells into stem cells, which is pretty magical if you ask me. And it says, go forth and go infect the muscle tissue of this human, and let's see what we can do. So, like, again, it's basically perfectly tailored to infect and hijack the human body and affect you in all these horrible, terrible ways. Like, it shortened your fingers is one of the symptoms.
Yeah.
Meaning that they just kind of start going back like pencil nubs that have been sharpened too many times.
Yeah, it was, if you're a biblical scholar, you have seen the word leprosy a lot in the Bible, but it didn't necessarily mean this specific disease. It could have been a variety of things like eczema or cirrhosis, because the word leprosy in the King James Bible in Hebrew, sarath, could be a host of diseases that kind of make you look gnarly on
right.
the outside.
Yeah. But there is a passage in, at least in, I think Leviticus, which is old, man.
Yeah.
And it says that you, Hebrews, are supposed to keep an eye on anybody who has a skin sore. And if that skin sore starts to spread, that person is a leper and they are to live outside of camp. There's kind of an early understanding of contagious disease.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily know what it was or what was going on, but they knew enough to say, you hang out over there.
Right.
Because we've seen before that if people with Hansen's disease hang out with everybody else, other people can catch it.
Yeah. And that was the beginning of what would end up being leper colonies. And we'll talk about that a little more right after this break. Stuff you should. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. So at first, there were no leper colonies per se. They were generally just shuttled to the outskirts of the city.
Or camp.
In London, Queen Matilda in 1118 founded, a camp that people could still come back into town and, like, beg for money and stuff. But they were always to go back to their camp at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This, you know, just basically open land. It wasn't necessarily like some awful place to be. A lot of times, like, these wealthy landowners would, endow this land to keep these people there.
Yeah. Because they were sequestered or ostracized or just kept outside, people with leprosy effectively formed a subculture. Or a subset of the population. So you would have, like, say, in a medieval town, like the Jewish section and the leper section, and then, like, the blacksmiths or whatever, and the executioner had to stay outside of town. So they were just
the,
like,
cobblers. Don't mess with them.
Right. And they were like a subset of society.
Yeah.
And they were very frequently the but of all sorts of reigns of terror.
Sure.
Like, people would be like, well, everybody's getting sick, so somebody poisoned the wells. And it was probably the lepers.
Yeah.
And then all the lepers would be rounded up and killed. So lepers definitely were subjected to execution. As recently as, I think, I saw the 1930s. In 1937 in China, soldiers were, like, hunting down lepers and executing them for being lepers.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this a lot on the show. People fear what they don't understand as a society, and they didn't understand leprosy. They didn't know where it came from. They thought it might be hereditary. They thought it was super contagious, like just touching someone would infect you.
Right.
And so, and just because of the appearance that someone with leprosy would have, it, you know, they didn't want to see them. They wanted them away so they couldn't be infected, and so they didn't have to look at it.
Right. Okay. So the thing is up until the 19th century, basically, although they were a subset of society, they were still technically part of society.
Yeah.
Lepers were, even though they lived on the outskirts, away from town, they were still part of society. In the 19th century, there was a movement to basically say, like, we don't want you to have anything to do with us any longer.
Yeah.
Like, you go over there, like, you're not a part of our society any longer. You're your own thing. Just go away forever. And there was actually a law in Illinois, I guess in Chicago, an ordinance. It was called an ugly law.
Yeah, in 1881, and it said, any person who's diseased or deformed, so as to be unsightly or disgusting object has to stay away off the streets and away from public places.
Yeah.
Because that's how they talk in Chicago.
So, I know. So I've seen Saturday Night Live before.
Yeah.
So no longer are you allowed in town to beg for alms or anything. Like, yeah, we decided, like, we don't want to look at you any longer, so you are not a part of our culture any longer. And that was in Chicago alone. This happened elsewhere. There was an outbreak in the 1850s in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And the Hawaiian government said, Yeah, I think we're going to finally just say, you guys can't be part of our culture any longer. And so they made leprosy a crime. So if you had leprosy, you were a criminal, and therefore you could be excommunicated, ostracized, banished as under law.
Yeah, that was when it was Hawaii was an independent monarchy, and in 1865 they passed the Act to Prevent the Spread of Leprosy. And like you said, they might as well have been, they were criminals. And as the article opens up, in 1879, they describe a night in January where they, police officers rounded up, a bunch of people with, stricken with leprosy,
mm-hmm.
and basically sent them off, on a boat to Kalaupapa Peninsula and said, this is your new home and you're not ever going to leave. So it makes the analogy of a prison, but it points out that even in a prison, you can get visitors and you may get out one day when your sentence runs out. If you had leprosy, you could not have any contact and you were there for life.
Right.
Very, very messed up.
Yeah. And that apparently for leper colonies that were run like prisons, where the patients were treated like prisoners.
Yeah, they weren't being attended to like a hospital.
No, it was like you're in jail.
Yeah.
That it was particularly difficult for, say, like the warden of the jail, because you couldn't use the same kind of carrots and sticks that you could on a typical prisoner.
Yeah.
Because there was no hope that you were ever going to leave the leper colony, and that was part of the point. Like, it was your relationship with society at large was severed, and you were never coming back. Kids were taken from their families. At very young ages, like knowing that they were never going to see them again.
Yeah, this one guy, there was a quote from a superintendent of a South African leper colony on Robben Island. His name was S.P. Impey, and he said in his notes in the 1890s, you cannot starve them, you cannot flog them, all you can do is deprive them of their liberty.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
Yeah.
You know?
So a lot of places set up actual prisons inland. But a lot of countries said, yeah, that island over there that nobody wants,
yeah.
We're going to make that a leper colony. So there were places in the Caribbean, in the Indian Ocean, in the Pacific, off of South Africa, like you just said. But one of the most famous leper colonies of all time was that one, I think it's Kalaupapa. Kalaupapa? If I know my native Hawaiian, it would be Kalaupapa Peninsula on Molokai. And in 1866, a year after they enacted that leprosy criminal code in Hawaii, they set it up. And it was different because you didn't need any fences or walls or anything like that, just the natural surrounding of the place. It was a peninsula, so it's surrounded on three sides by water. And then it just so happened that on that fourth side that was connected to land, there's a sheer 2,000-foot cliff.
Yeah, so they were trapped.
They were trapped, but they were trapped in paradise, and it had an effect. It had a different effect.
It did, and we will talk about that effect right after this break. Hey, everybody. It's halftime, and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Josh, you were talking about the different effect that this leper colony in Hawaii had, because it was Hawaii after all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but it was a nice place. It was very fertile. They grew vegetables. They had a lot of food supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Local fruits were rampant. And there was a Belgian-born Roman Catholic priest named Reverend Joseph de Wooster, who went by Father Damien.
Mm-hmm.
And he really made a huge difference in the life of these people. Tried to make it as normal, sort of like a village, as he could. You know, they built the schools, they built churches. He started choirs, mm-hmm. and planted trees, started a band.
He gave these people a life.
Like as much of a normal life as they could have.
Right.
He treated them like people.
Yeah.
Which, and like human beings.
Yeah. So, and not just human beings, but also people who had an infectious disease, like patients.
Yeah.
Patients who could still walk and talk and move around and needed some sort of distraction or some sort of fulfillment. Father Damien came and gave this to these people.
He also badgered the government for money.
Right.
Which was good because they actually had an advocate for the first time.
Yeah. It was basically like the Fifth Avenue Irregulars, but on a leper colony in Hawaii.
Yes, right. Unfortunately, very sadly, Father Damien himself got leprosy and died at the young age of 49 in 1889, but he was canonized as a saint.
A saint?
120 years later.
During the big saint sweep of 09.
So that's a pretty neat ending to that story.
Sure.
For him.
And that, the leper colony in Kalaupapa Peninsula, man, I'm proud of myself for saying that one right, that is now a national park. It was created or turned into a national park in 1980, but the crazy thing is, there's still people that live there, at least as recently as 2003.
What do you mean, people that live there?
Like people...
With leprosy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was a guy I saw, I guess in 2003, there were a lot of people that were told they could leave or something. I think they were just waiting for the last generation to die out, and they said, you know what? We've got this thing kind of licked here in the United States, so
yeah.
If you guys want to leave, go ahead. And some people said, I've spent literally my entire life here. I don't want to leave. This is my home. So it's a national park with inhabitants, which is rare.
Yeah, that's a good point. In the 1920s in the U.S., we started to change our tune a little bit. And the U.S. Public Health Service said, you know what? Let's start a leper colony in Carville, Louisiana, that's actually a hospital of sorts where we treat
right.
these people and try and make their life better and to find... try and find a cure, which is, I think, what directly led to the first drugs in the 1940s being established. One called Promin, mm-hmm. that apparently is a pretty nasty way to treat it because the injections were so painful, but it was a good start.
So it was painful. Apparently they figured out, but it was an antibiotic that did work. And they figured out that if you added it to a cocktail of other drugs.
Yeah.
Apparently it was easier to take because it was in pill form, I think, is what they changed it to.
Oh, really?
In the 50s.
Yeah.
Or 60s. And then they added it to other drugs because the bacteria was starting to get resistant to this antibiotic alone.
Right.
But they came up with a cocktail in the 60s or 70s and now have a regimen that can cure.
Yeah.
Leprosy in 6 months. And it all came out of this leper colony at Carville, Louisiana. And there's a really, really neat documentary called Triumph at Carville about that, about how this place in Louisiana was the place where humanity licked leprosy. And it's Carville, Louisiana is named after James Carville's family, and he's in it. He talks a lot about it.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, he grew up like down the road from it.
I could listen to him talk, just that accent.
For sure.
I love it.
But apparently, like, there was this kind of open secret that inhabitants would just leave every once in a while, and there was like a bar nearby where they would go and like drink beers and everything.
Nice.
They'd just sneak out and sneak back in drunk. like in the 50s or whatever.
Good for them.
Everybody just kind of left them alone and they did their own thing. And,
well, that's cool.
Yeah. That's a neat documentary.
It took, obviously, a cure for leprosy to begin to change the stigma, and the tide did start to turn on that stigma in the 1960s, and leper colonies started to close one by one. I think in Japan, they were one of the last nations to quarantine patients. They ended it in 1996. I think in Romania, there is still one colony where supposedly there are a few elderly patients still there. But India is where it's a huge problem still, not a huge problem, but the biggest problem.
Well, there's a lot of debate over just how big of a problem leprosy is. Apparently, the World Health Organization has said, we basically want to eradicate leprosy.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people accuse them of fudging the numbers. One doctor put it like, the best way to eradicate a disease is to stop reporting it.
Right.
So there's between, say, I think the World Health Organization says 100,000, 250,000 new cases a year.
Yeah.
And this one doctor, who admittedly has to do with this leprosy vaccine, says, no, I think it's more between like 1 million and 2.5 million new cases a year.
Oh, those are new cases?
Yeah.
I thought there were less than 200,000, period.
The reporting is all over the place.
It is all over the place.
And it's questioned. That's all I can say about that.
India, Brazil, and Indonesia are the top three countries. And I know that in India, there's a colony in Kasturba Gram near New Delhi, and it still has that stigma there.
Yeah.
There are people there that are cured of leprosy that stay there because their families don't want them back. If you have leprosy, you are still likely to be ostracized away from your family because they just think it reflects badly. If you have like a boy and a girl and the boy has leprosy and the girl doesn't, like that girl won't even be able to find a husband because the brother in-law has leprosy.
Wow.
So they're still sending them behind closed doors, which is super sad because it's just a disease like any other and it's very treatable. It's because of the stigma of how it makes you look.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I saw this thing. There was an inmate in an Ohio prison this week that was just treated for leprosy.
Wow.
He was just discharged from Ohio State Medical Center, Ohio State University Medical Center, the Ohio State University Medical Center.
You just won some fans.
And he was just treated for like a few days. Apparently, once you start this drug cocktail, they can cure you in 6 months, but you're not even infectious after like a few days of it.
Wow.
So they put him back in the prison, and he had it before he had had it for years.
Man, where did he get it? An armadillo or something?
No, he was from, I think, Micronesia.
Huh.
So they think he got it there, brought it over here, didn't know he had it, ended up in jail. I'm not sure what he's in jail for.
Man.
But not for having leprosy. I know that.
Not in the U.S., buddy.
But they basically said, all right, you're going back to jail. Nothing to worry about. Going back to prison.
He was like, great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I'm sure the prisoners are probably worried because they don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, some of them do.
It's probably working in his advantage.
Yeah, like stay away from that guy?
Sure.
Yeah.
Unless he's sad and lonely, then that's different. So if this kind of got to you and you want to do something, World Leprosy Day is January 25th, 2015.
That's right. We're a little early. We're kicking off World Leprosy Day in November.
If you want to know more about leprosy or Hansen's disease, you can type either one of those in the search bar at howstuffworks.com and it will bring up this article. Since I said that, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this One Hit Drummer. Hey guys, I have no idea how I missed your One Hit Wonder podcast from a while back until now, but it brought back a lot of memories. I was in a band called SR71, which you may remember had a hit called Right Now, which reached number 2 on the Billboard Modern Rock charts in 2000.
That is high up.
And generally inescapable that summer. There are definitely some mixed feelings on the subject, but I'd have to say having had one hit is better than having none. Do you know the song?
I went and listened. I looked it up, and I did not recognize it.
Honestly. I didn't either, and that's because I don't listen to the radio.
Same here, man.
And in 2000, I wasn't listening to the radio. But it seemed like a very 2000 sort of song when I heard it. You know?
Yeah.
It fit that time period.
Oh yeah, and the video too.
Yeah.
Then the dude's hair.
I worked on a lot of videos like that at the time. Like it seemed like there was like a lot of street partying and skateboarding and like, you know,
yeah,
a lot of that going on.
Overacting.
Although I got a brief small taste of the sweetness that is fame, it was enough to make me realize that what I thought I wanted wasn't very satisfying. The upside was having plenty of stories to tell. And fortunately, I keep a tour journal containing details that have mostly been lost from memory. Late night TV, daytime talk, guest spots on short-lived TV shows, several incredible gigs. Can't forget the 40 Watt Club in Athens. An amazing trip to Japan and one of the strangest experiences ever on German MTV. They make for some great life experiences that helps me see marketing for what it is in all its forms. The major label recording experience and the constant touring were beneficial from a musical standpoint, although playing the same bunch of tunes every night quickly became maddening. And I'm happy to know that I don't want to be on the merry-go-round of or tour bus rolling petri dish. Gross. Unless I'm the one running the show. Thanks for a great show. Please keep at it. There's so much to know. And that is Dan Garbin.
And that's one to grow on.
Formerly of SR71. And I emailed him to see if he cared to say what he's doing now, and I didn't hear back from him. But I think he...
Well, let's make something up.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I think he's still drumming and, like, teaching, and I think he has a recording studio. I think he's taken, like, that road instead of the drudgery of the tour bus.
Are you making all that up?
No, no, no. I think that's real.
What is that based on?
His Wikipedia page.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say.
Where else would I find it?
I thought you were just making it up and wouldn't admit it.
No.
Thanks a lot, Dan. That's pretty cool, man. If you had a one-hit wonder, would you have... No, you wouldn't have one. You'd be a one-hit wonder, right?
And your name is not fake Lou Bega.
Man. We'd love to hear from you. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast, or you can say hey on our Facebook page at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com, and you can just browse our awesome free site, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.